Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with today's rejection of the controversial Keystone XL tar sands oil pipeline by the State Department that is bound to become an election year issue. Joining us are Elizabeth McGowan and Lisa Song with InsideClimateNews.org. Elizabeth McGowan covers the US Capitol and environmental politics for Inside Climate News, and Lisa Song writes about the impact of the proposed pipeline on the states it is supposed to cross from the tar sands of Alberta, Canada, to the refineries of Texas. Then we'll look into the contentious appearance of Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orbán before the European Parliament, where he was accused of taking the country on the wrong path towards authoritarian rule. Daniel Kellerman, the Jean Monnet Chair and Director of the Centre for European Studies at Rutgers University, joins us to discuss the right-wing direction of Hungarian politics and efforts by Orbán's ruling party to suppress press freedom, take control of Hungary's judiciary and central bank, and perpetuate their own rule. Then finally, we'll discuss Mitt Romney's tax returns, which the Republican frontrunner appears to be reluctant to release. One of the country's leading experts on taxation and tax law, David K. Johnston, joins us to discuss the growing controversy over Romney's tax returns and the 15% rate that he admits to paying, which drew ridicule from his rival, Newt Gingrich. Joining us now is Elizabeth McGowan and Lisa Song. Elizabeth has been a reporter for more than two decades and has written extensively about the Keystone XL oil sands pipeline for Inside Climate News, a journalism website that does original reporting on energy and environmental issues. She is based in Washington, D.C., and Lisa Song has also written extensively about the Keystone Pipeline for Inside Climate News. She has an article there, "TransCanada, No More Than 6,000 Pipeline Workers on the Job on Any Given Day." Welcome to Background Briefing, Elizabeth McGowan and Lisa Song.
Thank you.
And beginning with you, Elizabeth, since you've been covering Capitol Hill, what are the politics behind this? It seemed like the Republicans thought they'd box the president in with this February the 21st deadline, 2 months to make a decision. The president was in a difficult position with the environmental movement having forced him into delaying the pipeline, largely because of Bill McKibben and 350.org and the demonstrations at the White House. And I think he thought he'd dodged a bullet until the Republicans came back at him. So where do we stand now in this battle?
Well, I think where we stand now is this is an election year, so who knows what might be up people's sleeves. But already the Republicans today have called for a hearing next week where they've invited the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, to speak. And they're going to ask her specifically about the Keystone XL. So what we're seeing is, you're exactly right, you framed it exactly right, is they thought they had boxed the president in, taking two of his, you know, base supporters, the environmental groups and the union and the jobs, and thought, we're going to make him choose. But he had told them, we don't have a sufficient information to make a decision about this pipeline. And so he stood up and said, I'm going to reject it, you know, as it stands now. So it means that this is going to be in the news. This is not going away. This will continue. There will be continued pushing to try to get the president to change his mind somehow, or to try to speed this thing along. I understand that TransCanada can also apply again for another permit for this, you know, same pipeline. So they also have that option, and it would also have to go up for review, just as this one has.
But do you think, though, what Hillary Clinton will say, and what the State Department said today, and what the White House reiterated, is that they could not make such a serious decision on a 2 month time frame, that it was just impossible to do the due diligence necessary, and therefore they had to cancel it? So, do you think that's going to wash, that it's all the Republicans' fault for pushing this thing too fast?
Well, it seems, you know, it's strange, because it does appear that they were trying to wield a cudgel, and it, you know, today it looks like it came back and hit them in the head like a boomerang. And that's how it looks to everybody. But what happened was, I mean, they wanted to speed up this decision because the president had come out in early November, his administration had come out and said, we know you're waiting for this pipeline to be approved. We've run into some debacles, which Lisa can comment on, that they had to reroute it. The people in Nebraska wanted it out of the Ogallala Aquifer and wanted to reroute it. So the president said, look, there's too much. We have to make too many changes here. This has become too much. We didn't know it was going to take this long, but they tried to do their due diligence and said, look, we're not going to be able to approve this thing until early 2013. Well, here in Washington, everything is seen in a two-year or four-year cycle, so that disturbed people because it looked as if it was going to be, or it was going to be, post-2012 presidential election. So that's when the Republicans decided to step in and try to speed it up. So it, you know, no doubt TransCanada wants this thing to pass and had, you know, there was legislation earlier that was written that said, you know, the president has to speed it up and approve this thing. Well, this legislation was you give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And he said, look, I don't have sufficient information. I'm giving it a thumbs down. So right now it looks like, you know, the boomerang did hit them. But it's still, this is a topic. Now that he's rejected it, the Republicans are going to keep using it. They're going to say, you know, all of these potential jobs lost, all of this work not being done, you know, the unemployment rate is at 8.5%. Why is the president turning his back, basically, on something that they see as something that can provide jobs, provide work, provide infrastructure, provide energy security, all those arguments that they've been making in favor of this pipeline all along.
Well, let's turn to Lisa Song, who's written extensively about the impact of the Keystone Pipeline on the states it would cross. She has an article at Inside Climate News, TransCanada, no more than 6,000 pipeline workers on the job on any given day. That flies in the face of what the oil companies were saying, right? The lobbyists for the oil companies were saying that there's 20,000 jobs involved.
What happened with that was TransCanada has been saying for years the pipeline would create 20,000 jobs, and they came out with a press release last week saying 7,000 of those jobs would be in manufacturing and another 13,000 in direct construction jobs. But if you look at the numbers, a lot of those jobs are temporary, and it's also there's a lot of confusion over what counts as a job, because you could have one person working on a job for 2 years or two people working at that same job for 1 year each. And so in that case, do you count it as one job or two? And that means that the job numbers can be spun in somehow to make it appear like there are more jobs than there will be. And last week, a TransCanada spokesman told me that there would be 13,000 construction jobs, but only 6,000 people would be working at any given time, up to 6,000 people. And so that's just added to the confusion over the jobs numbers. And the U.S. State Department has a report out saying the project would require 5,000 to 6,000 construction workers. And there's a different report from Cornell University that basically has those same numbers.
Well, I spoke during the Iowa caucuses to a Huffington Post reporter who had been covering the candidates, and she was also covering the voters. And she told me that universally the voters in Iowa were really upset, and these are Republican voters, about the Keystone issue, and that it appeared to be working as a Republican wedge issue, that they really felt that this was a key issue that showed that Obama didn't care about jobs and didn't care about getting us free from foreign oil. So how do you think it's going to play, the rejection of this pipeline, if you've been to these areas that where the pipeline would go?
Well, I've talked with a lot of landowners in Nebraska and South Dakota, and these are the people who would be affected the most if the pipeline is approved, because the pipeline would literally pass through their backyards. And these, most of them are farmers and ranchers. They live in very rural areas of the state. And their biggest worry is that an oil spill from the pipeline would contaminate their water and land. You know, the water and land is what matters most to them. It's how they make their living. So in their case, they don't want the pipeline because it could endanger their livelihoods. It's not about politics for them. It's just about what they know and what they do on a day-to-day basis.
And what compensation would they get? Because a pipeline across your land is not only a scar on the land, I imagine it affects cattle, etc. I mean, what's the inducement? Or do they have no choice?
Well, they would get paid some amount of money for allowing the company to bury the pipeline on their land, and those negotiations are secret, so we don't really know how much money they would get. But also, the company is allowed to use eminent domain. So basically, if the company and the landowner can't reach an agreement over how much money they'd get, the company can take the landowners to eminent domain court and have the court determine the right amount of compensation. And that leaves the landowners with not much choice.
So, Elizabeth McGowan, the Keystone people are already talking about reapplying. The Canadian Prime Minister apparently was informed by President Obama, who considers him a friend, although he was extremely disappointed, to put it mildly. And Stephen Harper's Natural Resource Minister, Joe Oliver, basically says, well, you know, we're going to diversify and expand our markets, including the growing Asian market. So I guess the implication is there, if this doesn't go through, they'll send a pipeline from the oil sands to the coast, Pacific coast, and ship the oil to China.
Well, I mean, that is the conversation, and that's what, you know, happened down here in the States, is that it was turned into an sort of an us versus them. If we don't accept this pipeline, then the TransCanada, as well as other companies that are mining the oil sands in Alberta, Canada, would go west and open themselves up to the Asian markets. The thing is, there are some holdups there because they have to go through British Columbia to get a lot of that oil out of there, and that is the indigenous people and other environmental organizations and other landowners in British Columbia are not too keen on this idea. So there is a lot of pushback there. So how that will evolve, that's an enormous question, but it is something that is on the top of everybody's mind, because I think the last thing Canada wants to have is have that enormous energy resource trapped in Alberta. I mean, they want to get that out, and they're looking for ways to get it out. So this is a big blow if the Keystone XL is not built. You know, they are shipping oil sands down here via the original Keystone route, and this Keystone XL would be an extension of it. But you know, you talk to the energy experts, and they say one way or another, this oil will get out and go be exported somewhere, because we are such an energy-hungry world.
But tell me, though, because I've spoken to Bill McKibben a few times, and he led the demonstrations at the White House that essentially, I think, forced the White House's hand to delay a decision. Bill McKibben came out today and said this isn't just the right call, it's a brave call. He also said that the president's going to face a naked political threat from big oil to exact huge political consequences in this election year. I think it's pretty fair to pretty reasonable to guess that the oil companies are going to spend an awful lot of money to defeat Obama. They probably would have done that at any rate. But what about what that means, though, to the environment in Canada? Because not enough is said about how destructive this oil sands process is to the environment where it's extracted and how much water is used and how mm-hmm. billions and billions of gallons of water are being sitting in these huge brackish ponds that grow and grow and grow in size. And that if, at the end of the day, we may rue the loss of all this water. So give us a sense of why that's not getting through in the argument. Are we just that energy hungry that we don't understand the trade-off?
Yeah, I think it's the water, and it's also, I mean, one of the reasons that Bill McKibben was able to turn this into something, and he's the first one to tell you he won't take sole responsibility for it, is making this an issue about climate. The climate movement in the United States had really petered out after certain legislation in the Congress died. They couldn't find their way north. They didn't have an issue. And they took this Keystone XL pipeline because you're exactly right. Extracting it it's an incredibly carbon-intensive mining process. And that's what they latched onto. And that resonated with lots of people. And it wasn't just, you know, the old traditional environmental movement. It attracted a huge swath of people who had voted for Obama in 2008 and were disappointed in him, and that riled them up, and they came to Washington, they got arrested in front of the White House, and they made that their signature issue, is talking about, as Jim Hansen, the NASA scientist, refers to it as, you know, if this all of these oil sands are harvested, it will be a carbon bomb. And in his opinion, it's game over on trying to control greenhouse gases. So that did come to light, and it did catch Obama's ear and put him on the spot because he was afraid he was going to lose support from those environmentalists. So,
well, just in the last minute, let me ask Lisa Song about the implication of the jobs that your work. Lisa says that only 6,000 pipeline workers are on the job any day. That's a quote from the TransCanada company itself. What about that as a political issue in this election year? The jobs issue. Do you think they're going to be? Is there going to be any pushback on that? Because it obviously is resonating with the Republican voters.
Well, I think that there was a big advertising campaign launched recently, supported by the American Petroleum Institute and others who support the pipeline, all pushing the jobs numbers, and they were quoting TransCanada's 20,000 jobs. But I've also spoken with one of the unions, Laborers International, that supports the pipeline, and what their spokeswoman told me was they're not worried about how many jobs in total the pipeline would bring. They're supporting the pipeline because they know it will create some jobs, and it will make a difference to individual union workers who get those jobs. So I think there's a range of how people are using the jobs for political purposes.
Well, I thank both of you for joining us here today, Elizabeth McGowan and Lisa Song.
All right, thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Elizabeth McGowan and Lisa Song. Elizabeth has been a reporter for more than two decades and has written extensively about the Keystone XL oil sands pipeline for Inside Climate News, a journalism website that does original reporting on energy and environmental issues, and she's based in Washington, D.C. And Lisa Song has also written extensively about the Keystone Pipeline for Inside Climate News. She has an article there, TransCanada, no more than 6,000 pipeline workers on the job on any given day. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the emergence of fascism in Europe.
All these things are one day swallowed.